The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
It's a very, very special day today because Davy Marie is in studio with the beautiful Dr. Dean. How are you?
I'm doing great today. It's
My
so great
goodness.
To be here.
I was like watching you over the weekend. I'm like, what's going on here with Doc? Wait. Doc is going to represent us in the Miss Supernatural, is it?
Supernational, yeah.
Sorry, not natural. Supernational out there in Poland.
Yes, in Poland. So I won last night. It was a very close competition. You know, all those girls were beautiful. They're all so brilliant. And I mean, I won, so I'm very happy.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful.
A well-deserved title too. You worked hard for it.
Yes, I did. You know? I worked very hard.
Yeah.
So it is such a pleasure to be able to represent my country internationally. Mm-hmm. So.
Listen, you talk about beauty and brains. Now you have beauty with a purpose.
Yes.
And that's the true purpose. I mean, this doctor would have studied for so many years, got her doctorate, now practice medicine, and now is going and transcending beyond that. I mean, we're representing the country on a national scale now with this Miss Supernational.
Mm-hmm.
And what is Supernational, by the way?
So it is a brand that... It is one of the big five pageants. It's like Miss Universe, Miss World, but it's not well known as Miss Universe or Miss World because it's younger. So
okay.
It's only been about 15 years since they've started Miss Supernational.
That's a long time. Are you so how many representatives would we have sent there before? Do you know?
So I think we've had four representatives for Trinidad. I would be representing Trinidad in the fifth.
In the fifth capacity.
Yeah.
Well, boy. Mm-hmm. So 15 years, and out of the 15 years, we had five. Well, this is the fifth one that's going up there. Well, I wish you all the success.
Thank
I think you're traveling
you.
When? June? When is it?
I will be traveling in June. So June 15th, around there, I'll be traveling to go to Poland. Yes. And I'm still one of the finalists for Miss Universe. Depending on...
Are you kidding?
Yes.
You throw your hat in that ring too?
Yeah, I was in both of them. So, yeah. So, I end up winning one of the crowns. And it depends on how I do in Poland. Then we'll see
if I can
compete. Because
right.
If I win an international title, I can't compete.
Then you're a queen for a
yes.
year. You have 365 days of bragging rights. You will be traveling with the Miss Supernational
team yes.
all over the world
yes.
and represent. So we ain't got no lunchtime doctor. No, well,
no,
you got to step up.
Still, yeah, exactly.
And then Zoom. If anything COVID taught us is that we can still talk to people and Zoom. all
we
over the place.
Still have a lunchtime doctor.
Indeed.
Definitely.
So
definitely.
I was so excited when I knew I was coming here this morning to work with you. I said, oh my gosh, where's Dr. Michael Taylor and his beautiful fiance? You know, we're gonna have a time. We're gonna be enjoying ourselves. So we continue with our dialogue this morning, and again, congratulations from us here at Freedom.
Thank you so much.
I'm very, very proud of you. I mean, I don't know, where do you get time to practice medicine, woman?
I mean, practicing medicine, it's a lifestyle. So it is just part of you after you become a doctor. So it's not really something that you do, it's just part of you.
All right, so let's take our first phone call. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, TV.
Good afternoon.
And good afternoon to the young doctor in the office.
I know, right?
Doc, I have a serious condition. I want to ask behalf of the whole of the people who suffer with asthma in this country.
Yes.
Mm.
Listen, if Davey, you didn't suffer with asthma as well, because many times I hear in your afternoon... You
well, the little sniffs, yeah, the little sniffles, it
listen,
is hammer.
If you watch outside
allergies.
Today, if you watch outside today and you look at the atmosphere...
It's terrible.
It is covered in dust.
Yes.
Terrible, terrible.
Doc, I have been suffering with this thing for a number of years now.
Mm-hmm.
Sneezing, runny nose, irritation of the eyes, and every time I come up my vehicle to visit a customer, I am faced with the dust because I'm running AC in the vehicle, right?
Yes.
And it is terrible. Like today, it is terrible. My eye is irritating. My nose, the underneath of my nose is like tear because I've been wiping off, you know, the running that coming down.
Mm-hmm.
What do you recommend for a person of my age, 54 years of age, suffers with the asthma, the allergies, the scratchy eyes, the sneezing, and the nose effect? What I can do? I am tired. I'm fed up of this
dust.
Oh,
gosh. I'm so sorry to hear that.
It is not a governmental problem, so let me just say this.
Don't blame the
PNM. It is a world problem.
It is a real problem.
Right?
I understand that.
And I'm asking behalf of all of the people in our country who suffer with asthma and allergies.
Mm-hmm.
Could you help us, please? Thank you very much.
No problem.
I'm tuning in and locked onto the biggest show in Radio Land.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm going to say Dr. Larry. Thank you very much.
So, right. So what do you, I think
before you answer, you want to take our next call quick?
Oh, no problem.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's take one. Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, David. And Dr. I was listening to the news and I hear about dengue. You can't use aspirin paracetamol. Could somebody, a patient who suspects dengue, could they use paracetamol?
All right, so that's two questions. All right, thanks. We'll answer that for you as well. Let's go back to the Sahara dust situation, and then we'll talk about the, you know, with the dengue fever, what medication is good. Because that just came across the 12 o'clock news.
So what I would say is that he said that he has asthma. Now, that is completely different to what he was describing to me in terms of the runny nose, the sniffling, etc. So we usually term something like that rhinitis. Or allergic rhinitis, or allergies, as you would say.
Well, I like that word, allergies. Yes. Rhinitis, song so, like,
rhino has to do with the nose.
Okay.
So you'll get the runny
the sniffling.
Nose. Yeah, and the sniffling all and
right,
all these
cool.
things. And what we do find is that it is due to a lot of environmental factors, so like pollen, dust. Main things that we usually tell our patients is to try to avoid it, but you can't always avoid it. That's what I'm saying. So if it's pollen season, you definitely know don't go by any bush or any trees or anything like that. But because of the Sahara dust now, it is very difficult to avoid. I mean, you can wear a mask, but sometimes it's still not enough in terms of how dense the dust is. I'm seeing how thick the dust is outside. I do get coughs and sniffles, etc.
It's irritating.
It is very irritating. What I would say is that there are at-home remedies that you can use. You can try nasal decongestants. You can try antihistamines, etc. But my main thing is that if you do have allergic rhinitis, there are medications that you can take for it, but those have to be prescribed by a doctor. So if it is bothering you very, very much, I would definitely say go and get it properly assessed and make sure that nothing is wrong with the actual anatomy of your nose or anything. But more than likely, it is allergies. It is benign most of the time. If you have allergic rhinitis, you would find a bunch of people will have it, you know, maybe about 2 in 4 people, half the population will have allergic rhinitis.
You have that too?
Yeah, I mean, everybody who goes outside will get that kind of sniffly, runny nose effect, but some people have it very severely.
You think the rainy season will kind of quench this and quell it a little bit?
No. So
the dust will still be there during rain?
So it's not just dust, it's any type of environmental trigger. So different people will have different triggers.
Okay.
Yeah,
got it.
For the people who have other triggers, they might act up a little more during the rain. But definitely for dust, I feel like everybody, even if you don't have allergic rhinitis, will have some sort of reaction to dust.
Okay.
But what this caller was describing was, to me, allergic rhinitis. And it sounds severe in his case, especially if he's not getting any type of relief when he's going into other places. So definitely do go and get it properly checked out. There are at-home remedies, like I said before, that you can use. Trying steam inhalation, things like that. It does clear the sinuses. But if it is very severe, do go and get it checked out.
What about if I get some crystals and put it in some hot water?
Crystals. Epsom. No.
The Epsom thing is biting the drugstore. I just call it crystals. The mental thing. And
you can do it. Yeah. So they do have humidifiers that you can use. You can buy a humidifier as well.
I have one, and I find the crystal work better. Because you know the humidifier is put in this Vicks thingy. Pad.
Oh, the inhalation. The inhalers. The Vicks inhalers.
No, well. You mentioned the nasal cleanser thingy just now, right?
Yes.
That shape is a kind of blue and white bottle kind of shape, kind of like an egg.
Yes.
And then it's about 300 for it.
Yes.
And then you spray it in your nose.
300, okay.
Yeah, 290 something, 280 something, some pharmacies.
But some of them do contain medication in it.
Yeah, very.
So some of them are prescription. So you will have to get a prescription for some of them. But
for
then
some.
There's some that are over the counter. It can help. Because of the certain medications that are in it as
One message here. What about clear eyes? Let me take this call. Okay, call me back. 627-3223, 625-2257. You know, when I hear, I try to get all the questions answered as quickly as possible, you know.
Good day.
Good day. Welcome.
Is this the doctor, lunchtime doctor?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
I had to rush my mom. She's 88 years. good health, but I had to rush her yesterday to the hospital emergency. She was vomiting blood.
Oh. Wow.
Dark lump, and then pieces, stuff like, you know, lumps and then coming out. Really,
yes,
really bad.
Yes.
And I took her there. Well, they put on drips and different things. They wanted to use the camera, but all of a sudden, I mean, she's in good spirit, good health, eating good, everything. I don't know what you call it, in a sense, but real vomit blood. I tell you, blood. Real.
Mm-mm.
Black. Black blooded color, not no red, and yeah, lumps of thing coming out and stuff like that. So,
what color you scare me, yes?
Yeah, well, I'm telling you, so, you get, I mean, that was something out when I watched it, I can't believe. And then, they give her drips and stuff. So, when I reached yesterday evening in the hospital, Sandra, they put in the teaching hospital, and she's there. She's resting comfortable. She sit up, she was having a little toast bread and thing with the giver and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think today they want to put the camera. But you think any idea, not idea, but I don't know what to ask concerning
right,
what might have caused it.
Okay.
I'll listen off the air.
No problem.
Thank you.
Could it be a stomach ulcer?
It can be a stomach ulcer. When we talk about dark blood, we tend to say that this type of blood has been there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It has oxidized. So when it is very fresh, then it's something that is acute. But if it is dark blood, that it has been there for a while, I would definitely say that yes, they are completely right in doing that, something called an endoscopy or gastroscopy.
Mm-hmm.
Just to check and see where the ulcer is and to treat it appropriately, because different types of ulcer require different types of treatment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are
mm-hmm.
some ulcers that you can just use pharmaceutical, but then there are some that do require surgery. And if she was vomiting a large amount of blood, they do need to monitor her, because then she would have been losing blood. And she needs to be, and she will go into shock if she's vomiting blood for a long period of time and it's a large amount. So definitely, they will need to monitor her. Do not take her out of the hospital. Let them monitor her. Let them do the things that are appropriate for this condition. Because, yes, we are thinking it can be an ulcer, but there are other things that we have to factor in. Like, what is her her medical history?
Mm-hmm.
Does she have any other comorbidities?
Mm-hmm.
Can we attribute it to another condition that she may have?
Hmm.
So it is a lot of different things that you have to take into context. But they are thinking, if they are planning to do some type of scope inside into the they are
the
definitely thinking something along the gastrointestinal tract.
That might make my pause raise, you know, because
mm-hmm.
when I hear vomiting blood, that's usually some kind of tummy or lung infection or something cut inside of you.
Yes.
How are you bringing
exactly.
up blood?
Exactly. So it is, normal.
Okay, so I have a lot of calls coming through, so let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference? Which one is more dangerous? The vomiting of the blood or passing blood in your stool?
Both are equally dangerous.
Okay.
So what I would say is that, now, in my opinion, when you're passing blood in your stool, it depends on how much blood you're passing.
Okay.
So for some people, they wipe and they see a little blood. This can be something like an anal fissure. So if you were constipated,
okay,
and
get
it was
a bruise.
Very, yeah, and you
okay,
get a bruise,
okay,
that
okay.
is, it's normal. It does, you will get some pain the next time you pass stool because you will have had a little cut.
Right.
But then if you're vomiting, if you are passing large amounts of blood in the bowl, sometimes that can be something like hemorrhoids. If we are seeing blood in the stool itself, then we are thinking something different. Why is the blood in the stool? Do you have, usually when we see blood in the stool, our first thought for people that are of an older age is colon cancer. So it is definitely something that we keep on our radar.
Mm-hmm.
But when you hear a certain history, and this is why I say history is important.
It's important. Mm-hmm.
When you hear a certain history, you can go along a certain path. So if you hear a 20-year-old coming in with constipation and just a little blood on the because I'm sure a lot of people do get it if they're constipated,
yeah.
a
mm-hmm.
little blood on the toilet paper, we'll think, okay, maybe you have an anal fissure, you know.
I like
but
the
then,
way it is put it, eh? Anal
yeah.
fissure.
Yeah.
talking,
that is,
you know,
the correct medical
medical
term.
Too.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a little boo-boo you get, I cut.
But
good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Davy.
Hi,
good
sweetie.
Good afternoon.
And good afternoon, Doc, my dearest Doc.
Good afternoon.
I am an asthmatic for 20 how much years.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I use Mr. Vicks.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Vicks, when I am going anywhere, as if it is spend a single night out,
mm-hmm.
going on a trip anywhere,
mm-hmm.
on my hand luggage, Mr. Vicks going in that bag.
What?
I use it all the time. You see, when I go into bed, little finger, dip in bottle, in nostril. Twist it all how.
All right.
And I go to bed. And I don't get asthma attack, but I walk with my nebulizer in case I get an asthma attack. And I don't get no cold. I don't get no cold at all, at all, at all. I can't tell much when I was a little child, I get cold.
All
but
right.
Other than that, Mr. Vicks, walking. I'm telling you, it's walking for me.
So the
I
mental.
Don't know what anybody else, Davey. It's good to go.
Yeah.
Well, all right. I hear that loud and clear. Thank you for sharing.
You know, I do agree with her because when I do get a cough, and I think there was a flu going around where you got a very bad cough and people were having this cough for months.
Yeah,
and
months, eh?
Yes.
Now, I wanted to ask you a question, you know. I mean, we're supposed to talk diabetes, all right? We're expecting...
I think we pass it.
Yeah. I mean, we're going on to Dalton Brown. They are supposed to join us in about 6-7 minutes' time.
Yes.
Let me bring it back a little bit in terms of the Saharan dust and your eyes. Mm. People are complaining about this dry eye. It's itchy at times. One person I was speaking to in the building just before I came in the studio, they had clear eyes.
Yes.
Now, I'm not advertising for any particular brand, but I'm just being real here.
For the vision, yes.
Right, and clear eyes is one of the best on the market. Mm-hmm. As far as I'm concerned, it's one of the most expensive out there as well. But what other reachable items can person use to keep the eyes, you know?
So, when we're talking about the eyes, I would definitely say that... Okay, yes, you can use clear eyes to keep your eyes a little moist, but you also have to avoid any of the triggers that are giving you the dry eyes. And for some people, it is hard. So having something to help them on hand and also taking a compress, a little wet compress and actually putting it against the eyes does help with the dry eyes as well.
What kind of wet compress? What are you talking about? Like a napkin or something?
Yeah.
You wet it on your palm.
Yeah, and then you put it on your eye.
But that is, but what are you doing? That is handling in your lid.
You can just wet the
some
eyes
of,
a little
and
bit.
Some of it will go. Okay,
yes,
okay,
yeah.
Cool. Well,
so
well,
I mean,
cheaper way. Some wassa water in a napkin.
I honestly, I don't know about the Clear Eyes brand. I don't know about eye drops specifically.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Dr. Brown will help us in that department. But. I think we did something on dry eyes where they were telling us about dry eyes and how people get it, especially about the Saharan dust. So it is a question that we should ask them. I don't like to step into other people's territory.
I ain't get you wrong, no way. I ain't get you wrong at all. Me worse. I like to bat in my lane.
Yes, and when we're talking about dry eyes too, it is very important that you evaluate the cause because there are many conditions that can cause dry eyes.
I have a question for you as it relates to diabetes. Can diabetes, a person who suffers with diabetes, could they lose mobility and strength within their legs?
Yes, definitely. So it is. So we're going to talk about complications of diabetes, right? And there are micro and macrovascular complications. One of the macrovascular complications being peripheral arterial disease. What happens when you have diabetes is you have inflammation in your entire body causing many different complications, right? And then you have something called neuropathy, and usually it starts in the fingers and the toes. We call it glove and stocking neuropathy, and people tend not to feel anymore. So that is why we see a lot of people coming into the hospital. They have a nail under their foot and they don't know because they're not feeling it. They literally step on different items, their foot becomes infected, and it's only when they probably get a scent and they're like, what is that scent? And they look at their foot and the foot is turning green or turning a different color. I'm telling you, that is how bad diabetes can get for some people.
Why I ask the question, there is a gentleman I know really well.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good friend of mine for the last 24 years and I know his dad. And what happened is his father was a, you know, strong guy, working, construction. And for the past few years, he started walking with a bent position.
Right. Okay.
And now the man is still strong, but he can't seem to be able to use
walk
it
properly.
At all. So he has to use crutches. It's like his legs can't hold up his weight anymore.
So some people do get a deformity in their foot from diabetes. And we call this something called Charcot's foot. It's a very complicated part of the disease process for diabetes. But one thing the listeners should know is that you can get a deformity if you do have prolonged diabetes that is uncontrolled.
Well, I don't even know. Well, here's the funny thing. We were talking this morning, and I did say I was coming on the lunchtime doctor today, and he was like, well, I'll be listening, and could you ask the doc this? So here's the thing with me, right? There's an open clinic that he wants to take his dad on Wednesday.
Yes.
So he says that's the only day the clinic is open, but they don't even know if he has diabetes. But he mentioned to me, perhaps it could be diabetes. But his father was always afraid to go and check this and check that. Now you're right. In a position where you can't walk. You had to use crutches. Literally can't. You know.
So it could be a host of different things.
Here's my trick question. I mean, we're just a minute away before we go to Dalton Brown. Here's my question to you very quickly. Could this be, I know it can't be cured, but is there some kind of remedy that will allow him to get back the strength? His father is somewhere 79. Would he be, is there any medication?
So,
I mean, we had to check him out for the history, but.
Yes. So what I would say is this. If they don't know what, if he has diabetes, high blood pressure, if he has any kind of comorbidities, we can't say that he has diabetes unless he's evaluated properly. Right. If he does have that point where he's getting this deformity in the foot, then we are going to have to look at management surpassing just lifestyle. So we need to do diet and exercise for him, but he's going to have to be taken a certain amount of medication, and they're going to have to tailor it to him. Okay. The fact now, in terms of the deformity getting better, there is possibly not a chance that it can be reversed, but it is always still important to take care of it because diabetes comes with a host of other complications. So it's not just the foot, it's not just the nerves, it's not just the blood vessels. We're talking about the kidneys. We're talking about every single organ in the body can be affected negatively because of diabetes. The eyes, you know, we're just talking about the eyes. Some people go blind from diabetes. It is the leading cause of blindness in certain populations. So it is very, very imperative that you go and get yourself checked out even before you think that, okay, I may not have diabetes, I may not have high blood pressure. No, you still have to go and get yourself checked out because you can be pre-diabetic and not even know it. So that is why it's so important. And we don't say this to scare people. We say this
because... You're looking scared.
Yes,
yeah, I'm looking scared.
No, we say this because it is important that you take care of yourself and your health. You don't want to end up in a position where you are experiencing the complication of a disease that you didn't know you had. Because I've seen it. I've seen people come with their foot in a state, I'm talking about feet, because diabetes is the number one cause of non-traumatic amputation for the leg, right? And I've seen it. I've seen people's leg have to come out and they did not even know that they had diabetes. And it was uncontrolled for years.
Well, I asked him, his dad doesn't have any, you know, cuts or bruises on the foot. But this morning in chatting with him, he's telling me, I think it could be diabetes. And I'm like, I've never heard of that, you know? I mean, my father had passed away from cancer.
Yes.
So I've never heard diabetes making you reach a stage where you can't walk, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
well, I will pass the information on. I know you're listening.
I've seen bilateral amputations because of diabetes. I've seen...
Wow.
Yeah, I've done them. It's not a nice process for you to go through and for your doctor to go through, because when you're at that point, it means that either the medication, your diabetes has gone so far, the medications are not working anymore, or you were not taking care of yourself. You were not doing things as you were supposed to.
So you started to lose tools.
And what I see happening as well is that when you lose that first toe, your persistence or your will to continue to do better kind of goes down a little bit. But that's when it has to be higher. Because,
you know, I know I want to say good afternoon to Miss Andre. Andre Carter. Good afternoon. You just have to unmute and you will be inside with us here. Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon,
Andrea.
Good afternoon.
Welcome to the program. Of course, it's all about Dalton Brown. Now, before you say anything further, I want to concur with a statement you just made, losing the toe. I know someone that lost a toe and they lost the will. It's only now they're recognizing after three toes are gone that they should leave the KFC alone and the this alone, yes, and the that alone.
Yeah.
But you were correct. You know, it's like he just started, like, you know, like gets throwing the towel and give up on life. And it's like, yeah, no, you can't give up. No. You gotta keep fighting.
You still have a foot.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So good afternoon, Andrea. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Well, all right, welcome to the program. Dr. Brittany is here with us as well. And I know you're representing Dalton Brong, optometrist. So let's talk a little bit about it. We have the dry eye situation with the Saharan dust taking place in the country. You know, how has it been impacting on your business there? Are persons coming in more? What's happening on your end?
Okay, so let me just pass you over to Miss Prosper because she's here with me as well, right?
All right, thank you.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi, so today we're actually talking a bit about the pediatric eye exam.
Okay.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually a quite common and interesting topic, as a lot of people have questions regarding eye exams for children. When I should get my child's eyes tested, when they have problems. So we're going to talk to you all a bit about that today.
Okay.
All right, so that's good. I mean, I have a son, and he's almost 11, but he had his eyes tested because apparently he was not performing well in school, and the teacher recommended that we test his eyes. And when we did, lo and behold, it's not bad, but we realized that he needed glasses. And you know, for the last 4 years he has been wearing it, and we checked it every 2 years, and even the last prescription was still the same. We didn't have to really change it much. It remained the same because his eyes seems to be doing better with the glasses.
Oh, that's very good. And I commend the teacher and yourself for realizing that there was a problem in school, because a lot of children, that actually goes unnoticed.
The thing about it is it's easier to just say the child is lazy. And the child, well, you know, we like to say to people, don't see. But the child lazy, the child could do better. You know, you get to report, the child could do better. But this teacher recommended that we go a little further. So, I mean, I'm happy that we're talking pediatrics here this afternoon in terms of the early stages. So how do parents, outside of that, how do they know that I need to carry my child and get my child eyes tested?
Well,
it's
in science of pupils that the child may display. So you could look out for squinting, as well as rubbing the eyes a lot. A lot of parents complain that their child just stand up so close in front of the TV. That's also an important sign to look out for, as well as holding stuff too close to their face, so like the tablets and the books and all those things.
So could you tell us what age you think that children should be examined in their eyes? Because I know that usually when we have newborn babies, we do look in the eyes, we do look for certain pathologies, etc. But what is the age that children should come and get their eyes tested, for example, when they're going to school, etc.?
Ideally, the first eye exam should be done at around 6 months of age, right? And then the other exam could start right before they start preschool. So that's around 3 years. And from there onwards, the exams could be done on a yearly basis. However, it depends on the child's situation. So the optometrist or the ophthalmologist would actually recommend the correct time span for them to be tested.
Okay.
All right. So with that being said, we just have a couple commitments to adhere to very quickly, and then we'll come back with more. Stick and stay. The Lunchtime Doctor continues right after this.
Eyesight is everything. Let the experts at Dalton Brown Optometrists take care of it for you. They are the highest quality technology to provide a range of eye exams, such as pathology screening, visual field testing, glaucoma screening, and much more. Just ask. They'll also provide a range of stylish and practical spectacles, frames, and sunglasses for all ages, and soft contact lenses, colored contact lenses, and hard contacts, all to meet meet your needs. Contact Dalton Brown Optometrist today at 667-3115 for your consultation. Visit them on social media at Dalton Brown Optometrist and check out their locations at the corner of Queen and Sojano Street, Arima. Give yourself the care you deserve. Treat yourself with state-of-the-art medical technology and medical professionals that put your healing first. Health City Cayman Islands is here to provide you and yours with the care and healing you need. They are a full-service healthcare provider operating in the Cayman Islands to ensure that the entire Caribbean region can access quality healthcare. Call Health City now at 868-720-4019. That's 720-4019 and reach them via email at tt@healthcity.ky. For full details on their services, visit healthcitycaymanislands.com. That's healthcitycaymanislands.com. Health City, leading you to your best health.
Cindy, what are you doing home so early?
I come to meet you first to go grocery shopping and to get the kids stuff for school. Boy, I hear my co-workers talking about a grocery in Arima and one in Barataria who have the best prices. Come, let me go right now.
Oh, God. Look at this place. I never see a grocery like this in this country.
Darling, look at parking. Like these people own the whole street.
Look at these prices. Like everything reduced. And you ain't see how helpful and friendly their staff is.
You see, we get everything and still have lots of money remaining to get the kids stuff for school and also to carry them somewhere good for the vacation.
If you want to save money and live better, shop at Mirage Westside Supermarket in Arima or Jumbo Foods in Barataria, where shopping is a pleasure.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
And of course, welcome back. Just about 20 minutes on the upswing to the hour of 1 o'clock. We are chatting with the lunchtime doctor. Dr. Brittany Dean is in the studio. And of course, on the Zoom with us this afternoon, Dalton Brown, optometrist. They are also here as we are discussing children in terms of pediatric eye testing and the early stages, how we could, you know, recognize that your child or children needs to get their eyes tested. And some recommendations came in just before the news break in terms of squinting, bringing things close to their eyes. What about holding things away from their faces? Mm-hmm. You know, that could be signs as well. Did we lost the doctor? Well, we're trying to reconnect with them in the meantime. I don't know what happened. Okay, let me see if I can get them back on the Zoom here. Technology, you know. Technology always does us this. All right. So while we await them to come back, you can call us at 627-3223 or 625-2257 if you have any questions as it relates to diabetes or even with your eyes as well. I don't know what happened. We just lost the Zoom link and it's not back as yet. Well, Dr. Dean, we chat in the meantime. As we talked about the... Okay, so we have a call coming in. As we await to get Dalton Brown back on the line with us. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you and all your guests there.
Good afternoon.
I would like to ask, I am 70 years of age.
Yes.
I recently, about a week ago, had a blood test done at the St. Madeleine Health Center. And the doctors were all in praise of me. The blood count was good. They said my kidney function was good. My liver function was good. My pancreas function was also good. Thyroid function also good. My question to you, Dr. Young Doctor, is it Dr. Brittany?
Yes, it is Dr. Brittany.
Okay, yes, I admire you as a very knowledgeable young doctor, you know, growing up. And yeah, so my question to you is that at my age, and I'm a vegetarian by for the last 20 years.
Yes.
So, and I exercise a lot. Do you think that there's any chance of me developing any diabetic tendencies or like that? Let's know if it. Thank you.
No problem. So depending on whether or not your diet changes, and what I would say is, because if you were a vegetarian for the last 20 years, if you eat properly as well as exercise, I don't think that there's any chance of you developing diabetes. This will have to come with a drastic change in your lifestyle and a drastic change to your diet, as well as if you starting to live a sedentary lifestyle, meaning that you're just staying at home, you're not going out, you're not exercising, etc. But I do commend you. I do commend all your blood tests and your blood work for your age. It is very good to see, you know, some of our older population taking care of themselves. It is so admirable, and I would love our younger people as well to take notice of that, so that, you know, when we're at that age, we can be as vibrant and you know, commanding as them. So that's how we want to be.
No, even as you're in your earlier years, such as your good self, and you know, how would one know that we should test for diabetes? I mean, gone are the days when diabetes was an old people thing,
a senior citizen. We're seeing it not even just in my age, but we're seeing it in people a lot younger. We're seeing type 2 diabetes coming up at 10 years old, 11 years old, probably even younger than that in some people.
Wow.
So we need to be testing, especially if we know that our lifestyle is not it's not healthy. You definitely need to be testing, and you are going to get that talk where we're going to say, okay, you need to cut all this food. You need to start exercising
and working on that. Hello, good afternoon. Who's on my line?
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Murray.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Dr. Brittany Dean.
Okay, Dr. Brittany. I am 72, right?
Yes.
And 5 years ago, I had cataract on the right eye, which was removed.
Yes.
After that, I started to see in blurry and concave, you know? So, recently, I took a trip to go. I had retina
detachment, yes.
So I had surgery in Texas, but I'm back home now, and I am having runny eyes, right? But it's like if I cook or anything like that. But the doctor here told me to use Acrylam. And but not to use it during the day, only at night. I have dry eyes now.
All right. Well, listen off here.
I'll listen to you.
Yeah.
Thank
we
you.
Have Dalton Brown, optometrist, back on the line with us. Good afternoon. Just unmute and you can chat with us.
Hi. Good afternoon. We're back here.
Yes. I don't know. Technology.
So we're talking about pediatric eye examinations. And the last thing you said was that children should start getting tested at 6 months and then at 3 years, etc. I have a question in terms of the pediatric eye exam. Is there anything different between the adult and the pediatric exam?
Yes. So we actually use different equipment. So we don't expect the children to know the alphabet. So the 6 months, even the 2 year old may not know the alphabet too well. So we do use different charts. We also use something called an OKN drum, where we monitor the eyes to see how the eyes are moving. We check the health of the eyes as well. So that's something that we do for everyone, but we taper everything. So, okay, if you're checking the vision in one eye, instead of using an occluder, which we normally use for adults, we may use something that's more friendly. Maybe use our hand and block the eyes gently. So we just taper each exam a little bit differently for children. But we still get it done nevertheless.
Okay, no problem. And I know that some schools, I think all primary schools, they do offer that vision screening. But what's the difference between the vision screenings at school and a comprehensive eye exam?
Right. So a vision screening is just a basic test that can detect vision issues, but it doesn't actually diagnose the exact problem. Whereas the comprehensive exam, we can detect, diagnose, and it allows us to come up with a proper management plan for that patient. So that's something you get from the screening. The screening we consider is just like an initial factor in the process, and doing the comprehensive eye exam allows us to find out the actual problem and come up with a solution to solve it or to help it.
Okay. And in terms of eye issues or complications, what are the common vision problems among children, so that any of the parents listening, they can know what to look out for?
All right. So you want to know what to look out for if a child has problems, or what What's the question you asked again?
Right. Sorry? So, okay, what are the most common vision problems? Okay. And then you can tell us what a parent should look out for in a child.
All right. So there are some common vision problems with children. So what we have, refractive errors. So that's like the farsightedness, short-sightedness, the astigmatism. Then we have things like amblyopia, which is basically one of the eyes, the vision is poor in one eye and the other eye is the vision as well. Then there's stuff like strabismus, where there's a misalignment in the eye, so the eyes might be a bit cross-eyed. Mm-hmm. So those are the common vision problems. And for parents to look out for, we expect them to look out for things like the squinting. So you might find out your children's eyes, they're closing it down, trying to see things a little bit clearer, or they're trying to rub the eyes a bit more often. They're standing far from the television, they're standing close to the television, they're holding the tablets or the books very close to their face, or maybe they're tilting their head a bit. All of these things you want to look out for in your child, which should prompt you to get their eyes checked.
Okay, great. And what are things that the parents can do to help protect the eyes of their children?
Right. So firstly, they should get regular eye exams.
Mm-hmm.
So as mentioned earlier by Ms. Carter, you start at around 6 months and then 3 and then annually, right? So once you follow that routine that is suggested to you by your optometrist, you will be able to pick up any changes and monitor the visual development of that child at every stage. Then you want to make sure that you know your family's history. So if there's a history of vision problems or eye problems in the eyes, your child may be more at risk for those conditions. And we need to get the regular eye exams to make sure that we are not missing anything. Also, you want to have your child eat a healthy diet, not only for their body, but also for the eyes. So we want to have a diet with fruits, vegetables, all of these things that have vitamins and minerals that help maintain healthy eyes. And these last two factors and points that you want to tell you about for children is spend time outdoors as well as limit screen time. Now, these two are actually my favorite to tell parents right now, because it's no news that times have changed, and a lot of children, they are using tablets, they are using phones. They are not spending time outdoors anymore. They're not playing football anymore outside. Everything is the tablet now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is actually putting your child at a risk for many things, such as short-sightedness, even dry eyes. So we want to make sure that they spend at least an hour outside. And studies actually found that when you spend more time outdoors, you actually lower the risk for myopia, which is short-sightedness. And in terms of the screen time, you want to ensure that they don't spend more than 2 hours daily, right? And you want to make sure that in that time, they actually take breaks.
So that 2 hours...
We have something...
Okay, I was not... Yeah? Sorry to cut you, but I had to ask. That two hours is not a direct 2 hours. This is like...
No.
Okay, because, yeah, I have a little one there. I don't know.
So what we have, you need to take breaks in between.
Mm-hmm.
So we have something called the 20-20-20 rule, where you look at something 20 feet away for 20 seconds, right? So every 20 minutes, you look at something 20 feet away for 20 seconds. Now, we don't expect you to measure 20 feet. So the key thing is just to look at something far away, just to break that eye's focus in there.
Does that apply to grown-ups too?
Because...
Everyone needs to take breaks while they're using devices for long periods of time. Mm-hmm. That is to reduce the risk of the myopia progressing for the children, as well as dry eyes, computer vision syndrome among adults.
I use my phone a lot for work. Yeah. I use my tablet a lot, and now I'm short-sighted.
You're short-sighted now. Yeah, because I use my tablet, my iPad a lot, you know. With research factors.
And you get headaches. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, because I find, using a laptop, you know, that I used in the past, when I fell in love, I didn't like Apple brand, but I fell in love with this iPad I have here, this next generation, and it works, you know, everything is just a touch, mm-hmm. you know. And then sometimes I have the keypad, I will set it up, and I will be typing emails, and I go in for an hour. My son,
but your eyes are just like glued to it.
Yeah, uh-huh. even if I and here my idea of taking a break on the tablet, watching something on the tablet. So I'll take a break.
Watching something.
Yeah. So I'm watching a movie or something, you know, or some series, you know.
Yeah.
That's my idea of taking a break. And the thing for me is, I work on radio. I've been doing it for so many years. I don't even have a radio in my house.
Oh my gosh.
Oh gosh.
That's sad, eh? And I work on radio. I don't have a radio in my house. So if I have to listen to something on radio, I go online.
You go online.
Yeah. I put it up, you know, and I would listen and tap in. And the thing about it is, for me, my downtime and my, you know, R&R is in front of the TV. Yeah. So I'm wondering, Brittany, like, we had to add it to something different.
Apparently, because I are the same thing.
Yes, well, at least I've taken the little breaks in between, and you're switching from the iPad to the TV. God. So the iPad.
Yeah, the TV a little further off. Yeah, but you see, I have sometimes I want to watch something real, you know, by myself. Mm-hmm. And my son, you know. I mean, I don't watch movies with bad words and stuff, but, you know, some little thing might slip up, and my son. Does this walk up, daddy? Mm-mm, take off that. I'd be like, what the?
Yeah.
You know, I can't tell you when last I enjoyed an adult movie in terms of a 16 plus. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes, I understand.
Even on the Netflix, on the Max, whatever it is, you know, you're watching Seven. These days, I fall in love with Three's Company. You know, that old sitcom, and Everybody Loves Raymond. I go home and I can't watch nothing else because them two little boys in my tail right through, you know? Daddy, mm-mm. So, and then I'm seeing where they hooked on this now? On this lap, this tablet, you know, they hooked on it, and you know, I took it away, so they banned. There's this game called Roblox or something like that kids are into now. I can't even play it. So, and then I a lot of grooming is taking place from people you don't even know. And I'm looking at how many screen time they're watching, and I realize that, you know, bad parenting, allowing these devices to babysit, to keep them calm, because, you know, here's what we're telling ourselves as parents. They're not running outside, so they can't get in trouble with nobody. The neighbor can't come and cuss and say, you know, your child come and break my plant, or the two children fighting, because your children, I mean, where we live, it's enclosed space. So even if they go out into the yard, it's properly well sheltered and closed up. So the gates, the ceilings, big gates, so they can't go outside. No bowling. So they're in their own space.
Yeah.
And they find a lot of time in front of this tablet.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but trust me, Dad, if you've taken away that tablet for a little while, they will actually thank you in the future.
I take it away.
Because
And the thing is, as parents, we have to be cognizant of the fact that there's a surgery house. So I hide it outside. And where I hide it, it's right in front of the face. It passes every day. It's right there. I hide it right in front of their face in a bag. It rests down right there, and they're passing it to go in to the door every day. And daddy put his tablet right there. I take away phone, everything. So they back to building Legos and writing a story and reading a book. Nice. That's what I have them doing.
So very good, very good.
But you know, guys, when I took it away, and this goes for all parents, I mean, they were hemming and whoring. They were like, oh my God, dad is a wicked dad. And dad is your fault. They started to blame each other because were you watching on that day? And you know, we had to be so careful as parents because we're thinking that they're exposed to the outer world. But guess what? Dalton Brown optometrist is now teaching us that we are damaging their eyes.
Yeah.
We are not doing anything healthy for them by allowing them to be babysat by these devices. You know, because we're tired, and we are tired as parents. Brittany, you're going to have picnic just now. You're going to. So, I mean, Dalton Brown optometrist, thank you so much for sharing. I mean, and for allowing me to share some of my real life experiences with you guys as well. You know.
Thank you for having us today.
Of course.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah. We would have it no other way. I mean, we're talking about these things. And, you know, parents, I'm very happy that you were able to see what these signs are to look for in terms of your children, knowing, should I take them to get tested?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And let me ask you one question before you go, Dalton Brown here.
Yes.
If your child has to get prescription lenses, does it mean as they go older, they get blinder, that they will suffer? Or if you catch these things early, we can sort of correct it a little bit, you know, not that they will come off of having to wear glasses, but would it worsen as they go older? What?
Right. So, for example, short-sightedness, right?
Mm-hmm.
What actually happens is that short-sightedness means that things close up or clear on things far away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's say your child is moderately short-sighted and they are not seeing things too clearly, but they compensate. You're able to make things a little bit clearer.
Mm-hmm.
So children actually are able to, they have a lot of focus and ability, so they are able to make things a lot clearer. We're not able to, just by checking vision, we're not able to detect it fully, right? Now, because of that, the eyes are at a little strain. So the eyes being at a strain is actually damage to their eyes. Now, when we actually correct that with the glasses, so we're not actually changing anything with the eyes at that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are changing their vision with the glasses.
Mm-hmm.
So when we use these glasses, the muscles in the eyes can now relax.
Okay.
Things are much more comfortable for them. Now, with short-sightedness, it's something that may progress. Now, what causes the progression is actually things like what I mentioned earlier, the screen time. If it's a certain type of myopia that is actually progressing, so we have different types of short-sightedness, but the glasses itself will not change the vision. It actually is helping them by making their muscles in the eyes relax. But if we see things that, like, it's progressing a lot faster, there's other things that we do to try to slow the progression other than glasses.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing that insight with us. No doubt when we chat with you again in the not-too-distant future, we will revisit some of these tips and tidbits that you would have given us this afternoon. And we truly appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being here.
All right.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.